Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Hi, Believers. I just wanted to pop in real quick and thank you all for listening to Season 14 of the podcast. While I take a break and get Season 15 ready, I figured this was a great opportunity to introduce you to a podcast that I personally love. This is an episode from the Paranormal Portal, hosted by the incredibly talented Brent Thomas. If you like what you hear, be sure to head on over and subscribe to the Paranormal Portal wherever you listen to your podcast, or find their links in the show notes of this episode. I'll be seeing you real soon for Season 15 of Believe.
And this thing come busting out of the brush on my left-hand side and ran across the road in front of me, dove over our barbed wire fence, five-strand barbed wire fence, dove. It was on two legs, and then it dove over the fence, went down to all fours. He about half opened his mouth and growled at me.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all for joining us, and a special thank you goes out to all of you who continue to support the podcast and continue to spread the word. Always remember, if any of you out there have experiences of your own that you'd like to share, feel free to email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Again, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and you too could be a guest on the show. Gentlemen, today's show is one that I've been trying and excited to pull together for a long time, and we finally got everything connected. And the gentleman we're going to be talking to today is a lifelong researcher and experiencer of the Bigfoot encrypted phenomena, and he also gets his feet into the paranormal too, so he's kind of all over the map. But he's just a fantastic guy and someone that I have a lot of respect for. And I'm speaking, of course, of Tex of Texas Front Porch on YouTube. And we're going to get into talking about him and his journey. So I hope you all are ready, because it's going to get spooky. All right, Tex, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Man, I appreciate it. It's been a long time coming. I know me and you both, but we got so many dadgum irons in the fire that, you know, it's hard to touch base.
It is, but I'm glad we finally got it worked out. You know, as I was just talking to you before we were recording, it's like, yeah, in my mind, we were going to do this like, you know, in the middle of last winter, and now it's already spring, and the time just flies. But thanks for making this happen today.
Oh, man, I'm more than happy to be here. I was excited when I got the email. I'm like, and then I'm having to, you know, of course, push the show, and I'm like, oh, no, you know.
No.
Like, because I hate doing that. You know, it's like last minute, and I'm like, oh, here we go.
Oh, no, brother. I mean, you know, life happens, and certainly scheduling is sometimes double tough when you've got a lot of things going on. But I tell you what, you know, you've had so many experiences. Your pedigree is huge for all of this, but I think all of the journeys usually start somewhere. So where did yours start? How did this all begin?
Well, you know, I've always been kind of into the Bigfoot thing because I've got family from Texarkana. My uncle owned land in Falk.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I remember going to see Legend of Boggy Creek at the theater.
Oh, geez.
You know, I remember when my big brother, now my brother is 15 years older than I am.
Uh-huh.
I remember that when the critter stuck his head, his arm through the window and the guy was sitting on the toilet, my brother jumped over in my lap. You know, and then of course, me and my little cousins, we're up there and I remember one night we were running around the backyard with our toy guns. We were hunting the Falk monster and all this kind of stuff. And my older cousin, I guess he was 17, 18 at the time, he went out the front door, climbed up on the roof and jumped down in the middle of us in the backyard wearing a gorilla mask.
Now, oh, no.
Everybody run off except for my dumb butt. I stood there pulling the trigger on a toy gun at him. You know, I wasn't smart enough to run.
Oh, you were committed.
But I think it was just pure panic. I just froze. I think so. I ain't got no sense to run, you know.
Sure.
But so I've always been interested in it, mm-hmm. you know, and like everybody else, you know, the Patterson Gimlin film and all that kind of stuff. I thought, man, that stuff's cool, you know. And I always thought, it's very possible that these critters are out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I turned 16, I found out they really were.
Oh, man. Now, can I hold you on a second and just ask you, saw the Legend of Boggy Creek. You were from that area. What did you grow up hearing stories about this as well? I mean, was it just common tales of the region?
It really was. I mean, because, you know, I didn't grow up in Texarkana. We grew up in, our place is about 3 hours west of there. But we had family up there that I would go spend the whole summer with.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, we would hear talk, uh-huh. you know, and stuff. So it was really, I guess, kind of ingrained in me from the start.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it's not something that you really thought about a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, at
yeah.
that point in time, it was just a cool monster movie and, you know,
yeah.
people telling you stories to scare you as a little kid.
You know, it's yeah. funny, the number of people that started this journey on that movie. I mean, I've interviewed so many people. It's like, you know, I was a teenager or a young kid and I saw The Legend of Boggy Creek. And it was like, boom, you know, it's like that ignited so many careers in this and so many people dedicating a large portion of their lives to pursuing the, you know, the truth. And I think that that's amazing in and of itself.
Yeah, I had a really what I think rare opportunity since I got into this and, you know, I start meeting people and all this kind of stuff, going to conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And I met the old boy that played the monster in the movie.
Okay.
And I met him. I ran into him at a couple of conferences that I went to. And then I had the opportunity a few months ago. They had a researchers luncheon over in East Texas.
Okay.
And I had the opportunity to sit down and have lunch with the man.
Oh.
And he is, he's just an old country boy. He's down to earth, you know. Big old fella, though.
Yeah,
he makes Tex look small, and that ain't easy, you know. But just as nice, old Crabtree, yeah.
Was he also interested in the subject himself?
Oh, yeah. He's a researcher.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, he's a researcher.
That's fantastic. So you grew up having an idea of these things, and then you said at 16, your first experience. Would you mind telling us about that?
No, not at all. You got to realize how I grew up. I mean, I was a country boy.
Sure.
From about 12 years old, I was out by myself. You know, I'd go out hunting, fishing, trapping. I'll camp for a couple of days. I'll just tell mom and dad, you know, hey, I'm going to be out yonder. You know, this is where I'm going to be. And I'd grab a couple of cans of beans and I was gone, you know.
Wow.
So I had this place that I really, really loved to hunt. It was just I've never seen another place like it. Mm-hmm. It was the backside of this old boy's property. And it was, I think it was like 1600 acres, 1200, 1600 acres.
Wow.
And one part of it, he had it, he improved it and made a hayfield out of it. And the other part of it, he didn't touch.
Okay.
And it was very overgrown, just real thick. It was so thick that you had to travel the game trails to get through it. And sometimes you're down on hands and knees.
Oh.
I didn't do a whole lot of bushwhacking, what we call, you know, bushwhacking, because I didn't want to screw up the game trails.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. It was bad enough me leaving my scent there, you know. Mm-hmm. But you would travel these game trails, and then these trees would just open up into clearings. And these clearings were anywhere from just big enough to throw a tent in to the small footprint of a house. And they were covered by what we call prairie grass, and it grows about a foot high.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have a scrub oak in the middle of it or something like that, you know. And it was just there were several of them. You just travel a trail, and you'd find this opening. You didn't like that one, you go on, find the next one. And it had a creek that ran down the front side of it.
Okay.
And so I would go back there and hunt. And the hunting was phenomenal. And before anybody gets mad at me for hunting, we ate what we killed.
Sure. Yeah.
Just how it was. And so I'd been out hunting, and I was coming back home. Now, it was about a mile and a half, 2 miles back, you know, between the two places, my place and the place where I hunted. And I was on the white gravel road that bordered one side of our place. Mm-hmm. And I was just about to jump over the fence, crawl through the fence. I couldn't jump over this fence, but crawl through this fence and make a beeline for the house. And this thing come busting out of the brush on my left-hand side and ran across the road in front of me, dove over our barbed wire fence, five-strand barbed wire fence, dove. It was on two legs, mm-hmm. and then it dove over the fence, went down to all fours. And then I saw the grass move for about 10, 15 yards, and it was gone.
Wow.
Now, the thing about it is, even in the Bigfoot circles,
mm-hmm.
seeing a Bigfoot's almost normal. But I didn't see a Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. This is what now we call a dog man.
Wow.
And, I mean, he was about seven and a half feet tall. Very lean, but very muscular and barrel chested.
Okay.
And he was black, but he kind of had hints of like silver or gray in his coat.
Mm.
He wasn't real shaggy. The arm hair, I remember you could see it dangling down off his arms about 4 inches.
Okay.
But it wasn't real thick until you got to the top of his head, or well, about where your hairline starts.
Okay.
And he had what I only thing I knew to call it the point at that point was a mane. Oh. And it went down the back of his head, down his shoulders in a V shape down his back.
Wow.
And what I thought was a mane then, I found out later talking to people years and years and years later that they tend to have a hump in the middle of their back.
Oh.
Almost like a grizzly.
Oh, okay.
And I remember the one thing that's the moment that's frozen in my mind is when he turned his head in mid stride and growled at me.
Jeez.
And yeah, it was an underwear changing moment, brother. Let me tell you.
Oh no, that is horrifying.
But yeah, and a lot of people when they talk about these things, they talk about how massive the head was, almost in proportionate to the body.
Mm-hmm.
This one really wasn't. I mean, it was big, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But it didn't like – that's not the first thing that jumped out to me.
Okay. So it seemed like it was pretty much symmetrical throughout its form. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Now, his ears were – they didn't set up high on his head like a lot of – you know, a lot of them are depicted.
Sure.
They were kind of – they were lower on his head, but they were pinned back. You know how an old horse or a hound dog would do? They'll pin them ears back. You know?
Oh, sure. Yep.
And he about half opened his mouth and growled at me. And that is, you know, a lot of people talk about how they had all these gnarly teeth. They couldn't hardly fit in their mouth and everything.
Sure.
But this one just, it was just looked like a canine mouth. I mean, it wasn't nothing spectacular. I mean, except he was on two legs.
Right.
But.
Which is kind of spectacular.
Yeah. But one thing that really stood out to me is there's an old wives' tale. If you're looking for a smart dog, get one with black in his mouth.
Oh, sure.
And this critter had a black mottled mouth and tongue.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, going over it over and over and over and questioning your sanity over and over and over, you know, he had, and this one thing that surprised me is when I started going, because you do the same thing when you see something like this, or I did anyway. You try to go, okay, I saw this, I saw this, I saw this, I saw this. You know, you're trying to make something make sense,
right?
But he had human like hands.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and his legs weren't really turned around backwards. I don't think he had the true dog leg, you know, the hawk.
Yeah, the digigrade or whatever they call
it. Yeah.
Yep.
His feet just looked really long, and he was up on his toes.
Mm.
And he had a pronounced heel. But, yeah, it was wow. It was spooky, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But I had, at that point, because the problem was, he went over the fence exactly where I was fixing to go. He jumped over on our property.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, and that part, that pasture was covered in what we call love grass down here. Okay. And it grows to about 3.5-4 feet tall, unchecked.
Okay.
And it was, when I go through the thought process, I've had people ask me, well, how long did it take you to decide this and make this decision? I'm like, it was split second. You know, but when you explain the thought process, it seems really long. But when I saw him go over there, I'm like, well, I ain't going in the tall grass with him. You know?
Yeah, good call.
And the choice I had was to go up, keep going up that road, and then it teed into another road that went across the front of our place. And then our driveway was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long walk, you know, well. My shotgun, I had a little 410 with me. I had a couple of rabbits hanging on my belt. I didn't have any ammo left. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I see him, and that's the whole trip really is a blur, except there's one moment that I guess I had a moment of clarity or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember thinking to myself, well, if he makes a run at me, maybe I'll get a swing at him. Or maybe I'm just jamming the barrel down his throat. I don't know.
Right.
But I got a 3-foot club and that's all I got. You know?
Wow.
And then when I got home, this is kind of funny. When I got home, I walked in the back door, and my mom had a rule, no guns in the kitchen, right? That is, you can't get no more country than that, right?
Sure.
So I walked in the house, and I walked in the kitchen, and I just pretty much just collapsed into a kitchen chair, and I laid my gun on the table.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was in the kitchen. I don't know what she – I can't remember what she was doing, cooking or dishes or something. She turned around, and I think she was just fixing to jump all over me, you know, skin me alive for having my gun, and much less sitting on the kitchen table. You know? And she turned around, she looked at me, and she goes, oh, my God, what's wrong with you? You're white as a ghost.
Mm.
And I tried to tell her, but I couldn't speak.
Oh.
I was flat out. There's no way around it. I was in a state of shock.
Yeah.
That's just how it was. And I popped a round off up in the air, and all hell broke loose, brother. This thing sounded like a bull coming out of the brush. I mean, the branches breaking, stuff ripping. I mean, it was crazy. Well, my sister lived about 50 yards away from us on the same property. She called my sister. My sister's 20 years older than I am. Okay. So she called my sister. My sister came over, and it took them almost an hour to calm me down enough where I could tell them what happened.
Wow. Okay.
So, but, and of course, they tried to tell me that, you know, I saw a big dog. Maybe I saw a wolf. Maybe I saw what they call a hobo back then, you know, and I just, you know, it scared me and my imagination took over. And they didn't try to tell me that I was lying. They didn't, you know, I was nuts or anything like that. They just tried to make it something where maybe I could make sense of it and accept it more, I think is what their goal was.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess they probably, seeing the state of shock you were in, they knew you saw something, but they were just trying to make it make sense. Yeah.
And I think the reason is because my mom was actually from Texarkana. Mm. She grew up with all those stories.
Okay.
You know. So, but anyway, but it never got breached that, well, maybe it was a, you know, a booger or, you know, a critter or whatever.
Okay. Never did. Okay.
No, she shied away from that, you know, and I can understand that. I can understand why, you know, you don't want to tell your 6 year old, this young man that, oh yeah, you saw a monster.
Right. You know? Yep. Turns out they're out there, son. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's gotta be horrifying. Now, before that, since this was something that you had no name for it when you saw it. Okay. So there wasn't like any stories that had come around through the grapevine. Hey, somebody saw something funny, like a wolf running on legs. Okay.
No, I mean, we would get the stories of, you know, a mare would foal and then, you know, her coat would get tore up or you know, taken away or whatever, or somebody, you know, an old cow drop a calf and it would disappear, or the mama would get tore up and, you know, chickens missing, this type of thing. And they would find tracks, but it always got blamed on a pack. I never will forget this, a pack of wild dogs. Everybody would talk about, oh, the pack of wild dogs is back, you know, or a big cat, you know, everybody always talked about it. And we had big cats around here. We still do.
Yeah.
But, that's the kind of stuff we would hear.
Wow.
You know, but yeah, after this, I was like, and what's weird is, like, this story ain't weird enough, but this, like so many other people you talk to, and I know you take encounters like this, you talk to people that's been traumatized and everything like this, and that's really part of biggest driving force I've got behind me doing my thing.
Yeah.
You know, is to give these people somebody to talk to. We ain't going to tell them they're crazy.
Yeah.
But this set me on my heels about 6 months. I didn't do nothing. And when I had to go, if I had to go to the barn, I went bloated for bear.
Mm.
And if I had to go in the dark, I was not a happy camper. And, you know, of course, it was go to the barn or go to the woodshed.
<You know? laughs> Those are your options. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
But I remember we had what a lot of people call a booger light, you know, a street light.
Oh, sure.
That we had put up out there. And but that was the only light for miles, you know. But I can remember having to go over to my sister's place or being over at my sister's place and having to go back home and it being dark, and I would do it at a dead run.
Oh, you know? Yeah, for sure.
But I didn't go hunting or anything like that. I stayed close to the house for about 6 months. And then I've always despised bullies.
Sure.
My whole life. I just, that is the one thing I cannot tolerate. I don't care if you're kin to me or not. Somebody's picking. I'm going to step in. It drives my wife insane. But anyway, I started feeling like I was being bullied.
Oh, sure.
And I started getting mad. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not going to, no. If this thing wanted to kill me, it had the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I started going back out. Now I went loaded a little heavier than I usually went, but, I started going back out a little bit of time, a little bit of time, a little bit of time. I finally started getting back to where I was going out to that place I really like to go.
Oh, cool.
And I guess it was probably, had to be almost a year later that I was out there. I was going out there, and there was a tree that had fell over, a trunk of the tree had fell over the barbed wire fence that split the hay field in this undeveloped part.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to where I would just run up the tree and jump over the fence.
Oh,
and I was going out there, and I was just about to run up that log, and I heard something walking in the brush. And there was a set of twins that actually hunted the place. They lived on the other side of it. And I knew them. I went to school with them.
Okay.
And so I heard something walking. I thought, you know, them, whatever, because it was whatever it was. It sounded like a person.
Okay.
So I hollered out. I said, hey, David, Doug, that one of y'all out there? And it stopped. Oof. I said, look, if that's one of y'all, let me know. And it just shifted its weight. I said, look, whoever's out there, if you don't say something, I'm going to shoot. And it just shifted its weight again. And I popped a round off up in the air, and all hell broke loose, brother.
Oh, my God.
This thing sounded like a bull coming out of the brush. I mean, it was the branches breaking, stuff ripping. I mean, it was crazy. I ain't too proud to tell you. Old Tex Tucktail and ran. I didn't slow down. I didn't look back till I hit the house. Wow. If this thing was fixing to snatch me, I didn't want to know about it.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know when he gave up chase. I don't care, as long as he gave up. But it didn't take me quite as long to get back out there.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Because my logic was, he's had two chances.
Right.
He just, it's like, you know, he don't want to hurt me. He just don't want me where he's hunting, probably.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's just interesting that it was still sticking around. Like, you know, we often wonder about the behavior of these things. It's like, well, what did they do? Do they have a home range, or do they kind of migrate through a great area, or what do they do? You know, and I think that's pretty interesting that, you know, in your situation, how much time had passed between the first encounter and this?
Probably close to a year, 8 months to a year had to be.
Oh,
because so. I know I didn't go anywhere for 6 months.
Right.
You know, and then I gradually started going back out. But right. So it had to be at least 8 months, you know.
So it's
I would say.
It still could be a migratory pattern, though, you know, that it just happened to be in your neighborhood around that time of year, right?
But I would agree with you.
Sure.
But years and years later, when I finally came out of the proverbial closet and started talking about this.
Okay.
You know, and because I stumbled on it, you know, yeah. I mean, people were talking about it. Because when I saw it, the term dog man was not even coined at that point.
Right.
The only thing I knew to call it was a werewolf.
Right.
And another thing, you know, a lot of people that see not just these things, but anything that's not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they look towards Hollywood, right. And they try to find something that is, you know, resembles it the most.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing that I've seen put out there was American Werewolf in London.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a creepy looking creature too.
Yeah, he wasn't as shaggy as that one, but he had the shorter blunt snout that creature does, oh. Not the long narrow wolf snout.
Sure.
But anyway, when I got to talking to people, I met a young woman. That had a YouTube channel, Dogman Diaries, I think it was called.
Okay.
And sadly, it's defunct now. She was great, but, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
And she's the first one I told my story to.
Mm.
And I got talking to her, and she'd had an encounter where she was on a double date, and the guys got out and walked up to a house they were driving up to. I don't know. I can't remember whose house it was. But this thing come out of the trees and started tapping on the glass of the car with the two girls in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so they got the bright idea to honk the horn at it, and it just pissed it off. But anyway, I talked to her about it and stuff, and she started asking me all these questions. Mm-hmm. And about, like you did a while ago, you know, well, what kind of reports did you hear and all this kind of stuff? And sure. And did anything odd happen, you know? And what was curious is about a year before I had my sighting, mm-hmm. we had one of our dogs go missing.
Oh.
And the only way we found it was we started smelling him.
Oh.
And we found him. He was up underneath the house. And, of course, Daddy ain't going to crawl under the house. Guess who's crawling under the house? So yeah. Old Tex was sitting under the house to get this dog out. Yeah. And when we pulled him out, it looked like literally somebody had held him up by the front legs and just gutted him.
Oh, my God.
And oh, it was brutal. And my daddy said, oh, he probably got into it with a bobcat.
Hmm.
What do I know?
Sure.
At that point, I'm a 15-year-old kid. Who am I to argue with Dad, you know?
Right.
And he said, yeah, he probably got into a bobcat and he crawled up in there and died.
Mm.
Well, talking to this gal, for some reason, and we don't know why, it's all conjecture,
mm-hmm.
but these critters, for some reason, have a tendency to throw animals underneath a structure.
Huh.
Around the home, almost like a warning.
Right, right.
You know? Every once in a while you hear about that it was a squaw, you know, a booger that did it. But most of the time you hear more about a Bigfoot will actually take the animal
yeah.
away mm-hmm. and not just leave it or they'll throw it against a house.
Right.
Is more of what you hear about them. These things tendency, I don't know why, throw it underneath the building. Wow. But anyway, and then she goes, well, odds are this thing was in the area quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the place right behind the place that I hunted, these people had bought it, rented it. I don't know what they did, but they kept their horses out there. They didn't live out there. They just kept their horses out there and they would come out on the weekends, ride their horses, whatever, you know. Well, one day they just packed up and left. loaded up all the horses and they just left.
Wow.
Well, I, curious kid, you know, I'm walking around the field, you know, looking for stuff. We had arrowheads and fossils and all that kind of stuff up there.
Sure.
And I was browsing around the place and I ran across a fully intact, for the most part, horse skeleton.
Oh.
Still had some hide on it, but, you know, bones and hide about all that was left. But what was strange about it, and I didn't think about it at the time, was it really hadn't been messed with by predators. And because most of the time, you know, something dies, it ain't going to be there.
Right.
You know, or you might find bits and pieces, but not the whole thing.
Right.
And I thought it was just cool to find a horse skull and put it in the rock garden for Mom, you know. But when I was talking to her and all this stuff started, you know, I was telling all this stuff, you know, that happened and everything about the stories that we would hear and then, you know, this and that. And the dots started to connect.
Yeah.
And she's like, this thing was probably in the area for a few years.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Then did the activity just kind of stop then, or at least you didn't have any more experiences with it after that?
I never had any other run-ins that I know of with him.
Okay.
Or anything. Now I would go out. Don't get me wrong, and I don't know because I can't say it was him.
Sure.
But I would go out there and I would feel like I wasn't alone. I feel like I was being watched.
Mm-hmm.
But that very well could have been just, you know, leftovers from being scared so damn bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Good.
So. I can't say, oh, I had that feeling of being watched and he was out there. I just can't do that.
Yeah. No,
now, my other research, that. Yeah, though that my spidey sense goes off when that happens out there when I'm researching now, but
sure.
Not yeah. back then.
No, that's just an incredible baptism by fire into the whole cryptid field. I mean, geez, being a young guy and having such amazing encounters.
talking to them about 45 minutes, but they were out there looking for a reported coven of witches that was out there sacrificing chickens.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
But you're right. I think... The most impressive part of all of that, I think, is the fact that even as a young man, you reclaimed your life. Like, you didn't let it hobble you and you didn't let it cripple you. You just, you know, you got mad, as you said, and you reclaimed that. And I think that's admirable because, well, you talk to witnesses all the time, right? How many people's lives have changed irreversibly after an experience like that? Like, they're just done. Talk to, you know, generational hunters, you know, the part of this long line of hunters, and they'll have an encounter and be like, nope, all of a sudden they're, you know, doing a garden instead.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a few of them really that I can just name off the top of my head. Kerry Arnold's one of them.
Yep.
You know, Bigfoot Odyssey. One of my co-hosts, Bigfoot Michigan Rob, is another one.
Yeah.
You know, him and Kerry are the only two people that I've actually know that have not only saw a Bigfoot and heard a Bigfoot, but they watched it vocalize.
Yes.
That's rare.
Yeah.
That's very rare. But they were both traumatized by what happened to them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Rob called in once to my YouTube show and talked about what he experienced. And it was, you know, you could tell. And that was a couple of years ago or so now. And it was just the weight of it was still so, so heavy. But, you know, again, I think he's another one. Well, Kerry, I know, has also reclaimed his life, you know, and been working real hard on that. So that's really admirable. I got to tip my hat to any of the people that have had these experiences like yourself and like them that continue on, you know, because we do talk to so many people that just never, that's like a dead part of their life now, you know.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you. You know, when I talk to people that swear they'll never go out in the woods again, they'll never go camping again, they'll never do anything that things that they enjoy doing,
right,
they'll never do it again, it breaks my heart.
Right.
Because, you know, when I go out, I feel closer to, I feel closer to God. I mean, you know, that's my fortress of solitude. I get out in the brush and I love it, man. It's just.
Yes.
No.
I agree. I find it to be a real reset for me personally, just getting out, you know, whether I just hiking around or looking for mushrooms or whatever. Yeah. It's really been a part of my whole life. Now, I had an experience where I got growled at and I'm pretty sure it was a Bigfoot, but I never did see it. I couldn't turn around. I just didn't care. But, and it changed things for me. But at the same time, I didn't have an experience like any of you three, but it was still real enough to me that it really did affect me. But, you know, after a while, I didn't have a name for it though either. And I didn't even think it could be like a Bigfoot because it's in Minnesota. And to me, you know, Bigfoot was in the Pacific Northwest. That's where I heard about it.
And there was only one of them.
Yeah. He just really got around, that guy. But, it's just something, I guess what I think is absolutely right is your point. It had two chances and it didn't. And I think that you're right. If they're going to get you, you'll be got before you know they're even there. I mean, literally, I mean, these things are such masters of their terrain that you wouldn't even know it was there, and you know, it'd just be boom, lights out, and it would be all done. But you know, you're right. I just wanted to show you it was there for whatever reason. Like, hey, this is my turf. I'm hunting here. You go to the other garage, you know, or whatever.
So, you know, and I always, when I start talking, you know, about Bigfoot, Dogman, and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and people want to tell me that, you know, oh, nothing that big can hide.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. I'm a vet. Okay.
Yeah.
I could hide my 51 ton tank in a stand of trees. Don't tell me something like that can't hide. Mm-hmm. You know. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but they're in a natural ghillie suit, for God's sakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole debate on the hair, you know, being translucent and picking up the colors of the background. I mean, you know, it's a strange phenomenon. It really is. We had a hair sample come out of Brown Springs that was found in my research area up there. And it was the first one that I've got to actually hold because the samples had already been sent off and everything.
Sure.
And I got to hold and touch what was left over. And it felt like my beard right after I oil it.
Really?
Yeah. It was softer. But that's the feel it had. It had that oily feel to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool. And then, of course, that's where, you know, I've had my encounters out there too, so.
Sure. So this is your Dogman encounters. You've also had Bigfoot encounters, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we'd love to hear about those.
Well, and honestly, I think the whole Dogman thing prepared me in a way
sure.
for Bigfoot, because it was like the first sighting I ever had. I knew what I was going out there for. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my pet peeves is watching these shows, you know, be it paranormal, be it Bigfoot,
yep.
you know, and they're out there, they're looking for these things and they find them and they run off. <You know? laughs> I'm like, yeah. you were looking for it. You found it. Don't run off now, you know.
That's why you're here. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But anyway, I went out with an old boy that knew the area, and I didn't know the area. Mm-hmm. And it was 8:30 in the morning, and we just parked my truck. We expect to go down the area that I researched. You got the Red River, and then you have like the bank of the Red River, and it's usually about 15, 20 feet to the water. Mm-hmm. And then it comes down in a floodplain. So when the river goes out of banks, it goes down in this floodplain. And then you get up into the wheat fields and the hay fields and everything else, and then the wildlife refuge area that's there.
Okay.
So we were parked just outside of the floodplain. And the goal was, our plan was to get out, go down the floodplain and go down through there. Mm-hmm. So we get out, like I said, it's 8:30 in the morning. He's getting the gear. I didn't have nothing. I just carried an old pocket knife. And, you know, I'm going for a walk in the woods at that point. You know, I didn't know. Sure. And, so he's getting his cameras and all that kind of stuff done. And I'm standing outside my truck, and I'm kind of getting the lay of land because I'd never been here before. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking through this thin tree line that separated this hay field and this wheat field. Now, at this time, the wheat field was about 4 feet high. And I'm looking through this tree line, and this this critter jumps up out of this wheat field, stands up, looks around, and then takes off running towards the bottoms.
Oh.
Now, I was pretty convinced it wasn't a person because I was seeing him from the waist up, and the wheat was about 4 feet tall.
Wow. So he's a big old boy.
He was every bit of 8 foot.
Oh, yeah.
Had to
wow.
be.
Wow.
Okay. And then there was a fire break that was mowed around the wheat field. So I saw him running waist from the waist up. And then when he hit the fire break, I got to see him head to toe for a couple of steps. Mm. And he was solid black. Solid black, but he didn't have a conical head. He had a round head.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah. Now he was covered in fur, but it looked slick. You know, he was well groomed. Mm-hmm. And my exact words were, "I'll be damned, there goes one right there."
Wow, how about that? Like you're at the grocery store. There's some milk.
He starts going, "What? I said, "Yeah." He just ran over, jumped out of the wheat field, ran over down on the trees, and that I know, unbeknownst to me, that was the third time that somebody had been with him that seen it come out of that area. And
wow, that's incredible.
But we went ahead and we walked down in the bottoms, and we took a left turn up there or down in the bottoms, and we heard something up on the ridge. Mm-hmm. We heard something walking up on the ridge. And then we would walk for a while, and then we'd hear a knock. Mm-hmm. And he was shadowing us the whole time. We'd walk about another 100 yards or so, and then we'd hear another knock. We think what was going on is he was herding a troop in front of us, so we wouldn't walk up on him.
Oh, you know? Okay. So it's probably a family unit around there or something, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, as far as Bigfoot goes, you were talking about migratory patterns.
Sure.
I think they're nomadic, but not in the way we think they are.
Okay.
I think they have a territory like a big cat does. You know, a big cat, he'll have 300 square mile territory.
Sure.
And he just makes his way through there, you know. That's why if you have a big cat in the area, you know, about every 6 months, he'll wander through your area or 4 months or whatever, you know. Right. Somebody saw him. Oh, yeah, well, he's in this area. And then somebody, you know, a couple months later, somebody else on the other side of town will see him, you know.
Oh, okay. Right.
And I think that's what they do. But I think they move in that territory constantly.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
But if they find a place like a wildlife refuge that's got game, and it's got real restricted hunting and all this kind of stuff, and it's thick, and they've got places to go, you know, and this place, especially Brown Springs, there's a cemetery, you know, this decrepit cemetery up there. Well, right underneath the cemetery, there's a freshwater spring that comes up and bubbles up on the other side of the cemetery and flows across the road. I mean, they've got fresh water.
Right. So they have everything they need. Yeah.
So, and all kinds of private land out there, thick brush, you know. I mean, why are they going to go somewhere?
Right. You know? Yeah.
I've talked to tribal police out there that said two of their officers had Bigfoot sightings out there.
Oh, sure. It doesn't surprise me at all. Wow.
Because we got cornered out there one night. We were fixing to go up in the cemetery. I had a paranormal group with me. What the paranormal, man. It's a mother and daughter team. Oh, they're fantastic.
Oh, cool.
But they came out there with me, and I'll tell you the backstory on that if we got time. But
sure. We got all the time you need, brother.
Don't tell me that. I can talk on that.
Okay.
We went out there on a collaboration investigation. And they went, you know, they'd been up cemetery before. Okay, this is kind of the backstory. They went up there. They had no idea about Bigfoot and Dogman activity out there. They just wanted to go. They found the cemetery. They just wanted to go see the cemetery, right?
Right.
So they go up there, this mother and daughter, by themselves. They get back. They post the videos, and everybody's chewing them out. What are you doing? Count me. What are you doing up there? Do not go back up there by yourselves. You know? So I said, look, if you want to go back out there, I'll take you out there. So we went out there a couple of times, and this is one of the times that we were going to go out there. And we had just pulled up to the, because the cemetery sets up about 100, maybe 150 yards up a hill, on top of the hill. So you park down below right by the spring, and then you walk up the trail. Now, we had pulled in. I mean, we know no sooner pulled in, and we're surrounded by five cop cars.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
There was a couple of tribal police and about three sheriff's deputies. And we're like, what in the world? We're getting out, you know, our hands up. We're not armed, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And at that point, I was going out there and investigating by myself, spending a couple of nights, all this kind of stuff. I never went armed. I carried a bowie knife. It's all I carried. But anyway, we get out. We start talking to these fellas. And ended up talking to them about 45 minutes, but they were out there looking for a reported coven of witches that was out there sacrificing chickens.
Oh, geez. Wow.
And they weren't making sure that we weren't that.
You didn't have no chickens.
Yeah. But the occult activity up there is pretty high too.
Well, that might explain why the cemetery is so active.
Yeah, and it is active. I've got so much evidence out of that thing.
Wow.
I was up going up there by myself. I guess it was, I can't remember if it was one of the midnight trips or the 3 a.m. trips, but mm-hmm. I was going up there. I was by myself, and I was getting my gear ready, and I was walking around in my truck, and I had a recorder going.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear this at the time. I heard this after I played it back. About the first 5 minutes of the recording, you can hear a growl just constantly going.
Oh, no. That's a bad sign. That's a bad sign.
And then about, I think it's like 12 minutes into the trip up to the cemetery, you hear a female voice almost in my mic go, "Come on."
Oh, geez.
And I never heard that either.
This is probably a good thing, though, right?
I mean, I was hearing, I would hear, you know, growls and whoops and everything, but I never heard any of that. And it's just that type of crazy stuff goes on up there all the time.
There does seem to be a correlation, though, between Bigfoot and Dogman and cemeteries, though. And I always wonder about that. Like, what is going on? Have you noticed that as well, or have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah. We've been trying to piece that puzzle together for a long time. And I had a theory for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, maybe they're using it as like a first line of defense. Mm-hmm. They can kind of get close to people. Mm-hmm. But because most of the cemeteries that you hear reports of them being are old defunct cemeteries.
Right, right.
And not a whole lot of people go there.
That's true.
You know, maybe that's like a first line of defense for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with it being sacred ground. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The fact is, we don't know what these creatures are, so we can't say what they aren't.
Good point. Yeah. I think that's a great point, because we often, I find myself trying to attribute behaviors to these things just based on anecdotal evidence. And you're absolutely right. We really know nothing about them at mm-hmm. all. And, you know, even to the point of the variety of claims that people have about what they've observed is just so across the board and so almost nebulous. Like,
yeah.
You'll have some really supernatural thing going on. You'll hear the UFO claims and cryptids, and then you'll hear this, you know, transdimensional ideas and, you know, and it's so premature. And I think that's a great reminder, because we really don't know anything about them other than the fact that they seem to eat, they leave footprints, they leave fur, they seem to be a physical creature, but other than that, we really got nothing.
What we're trying to figure out, because we run into so much paranormal stuff out when we're, you know, critter hunting or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and of course this Brown Springs, Oklahoma is notorious for that.
Right.
And because it's got such a bloody past, mm-hmm. you know. And the cemetery has got such a dark past. I mean, it was owned by Mr. Love, that the county's named after, the wildlife refuge is named after. Okay. He owned all that area for a while. Mm-hmm. Well, he also owned over 100 slaves.
Oh, geez.
And he was actually Chickasaw.
Okay.
And which was odd, but all the evidence that we can find points towards that cemetery on the hill actually being an old Indian burial mound.
Oh.
To start with.
Okay.
And then, you know, he had the land and he used it as his family cemetery, and some white folks moved in. They used it. And then some moron got a hold of it and built his pig pens in the cemetery on top of the hill.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, God.
Because the drainage was good.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, you talk about disrespectful.
Yeah.
You can't get more disrespectful than that.
Yeah, that's not good.
And we've also found that doing the research and stuff, that there's supposedly, and I've got a picture of what I think this thing was. I thought it was a Bigfoot for a long time, but I don't think it is now.
Okay.
There was what was described as a huge, ancient, dark entity that looked over that place.
Oh.
Cemetery. And I've got a photo of it.
Oh, wow.
And It's standing back in the trees, and honest to God, it looks like Andre the Giant silhouette back there. It's what it looks like. It had the big, bushy hairdo and everything. And we went back and took – now, I didn't take that photo, but I had it sent to me. And then I said – when the guy texted it to me, because I love going to the cemetery. Mm-hmm. He was driving by, and he goes, it was all grown up. He goes, well, here's your favorite spot. It's what it looks like now, you know. And I said, well, what about that big boy standing in the background? Next text I get is, holy crap.
You know? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
So we went back out, and this is, I'll tell you something right now.
Sure.
I suggest to anybody that's a researcher or anybody that catches something odd on film, If it's at all possible, go back. Take comparison photos about The same time of day with the same camera at the same place. If you can get as close as you can, See if you can recreate it. If you're going to do this stuff, and this is paranormal, cryptid research, whatever you're doing, you've got to be your own worst skeptic.
Yes, I agree.
Know, yep. You have to try to do your due diligence to debunk anything that you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we went back out and we took comparison photos at about the same time of day and everything. And we could not recreate it. And we took measurements, and this thing measured over 12 feet tall.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's all kinds of creepy. And you don't know
massive.
What it is.
Whatever he is, he's massive.
Yeah. That's enough to keep me home.
Yeah, I'm getting freaking goosebumps just sitting here talking about it. But
yeah, that's amazing. You know, Tex, I tell you what, you know, it's talking to you is incredibly easy, and it's already been almost an hour, and we've barely scratched the surface. So I'm hoping that this can be our introduction to Tex, and you'll come back and fill in some more blanks for us in other shows if you'd be willing.
I would absolutely love to. Anytime you want me, brother, just to say the word.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, because I can tell you and I have a lot more to talk about, but we just don't have a lot more time. So, but what I do want you to do is to take a few minutes and let people know how to stay in touch with you. What are you doing? Where can they find your work and so on?
Well, I mean, we've got the YouTube channel. It's called Texas Front Porch. We've got four shows a week. We do my show, which is Texas Front Porch Live, on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. Central. It's usually me and Jason McLean. Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesdays, we've got Jason's show at 9 p.m. Central, which is Jason McLean Questions Everything. And that's a panel type show.
Oh, cool.
And, man, he jumps down every rabbit hole there is. And then on Thursdays at noon Central, we've got Brunch with Bigfoot Michigan Rob.
Oh, cool.
And he's got some of the greatest guest on there. It's usually me and him. Mm-hmm. And he's got some of the greatest guests lined up over there, man. It's you never know what you're going to get, but it's mainly cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Friday nights, we just kicked this off, and we're so happy that we just got a brand new member of the team, and Jessica Jones. And she's a remote viewer, an accomplished remote viewer. She's helped find missing people before. I mean, this is not just, oh, I remote view. You know,
fantastic.
It's proven that she's been successful.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a Bigfoot researcher and everything. And but she's got her shows are – they air at – they go live at 8 p.m. Central on Fridays.
Okay.
And what she does something that we couldn't find anybody doing. She remote views these cases of these missing people or these strange cases that we hear about, like Detlef Pass. I know I'm butchering that name, and I'm sorry.
David Politis?
No, Detlef Pass, Russian thing.
Detlef Pass, yeah.
Yeah.
From Russia.
This was the last show she did. Mm. She remote views all these cases and then talks about her findings on the show.
Wow. That's awesome.
And, yeah. And the stuff she found on that was just, you know, it was pretty crazy.
No, that's awesome. And then do you have social media to text that you refer to people to or no?
Yeah, we're on Facebook. Okay. And we're also out on, last week we just started airing over on Odyssey Radio and iHeart Radio. So you can find us over there too.
Fantastic. Well, brother, it's been an epic journey, but way too fast. It just went way too quick. But we'll definitely get you back on and we'll drill into more of this because there's so much more to discover and to discuss. I know you've had so many experiences that we haven't even bumped into yet. So,
Yeah,
we'll get you back on. And thank you so much for making the time tonight to do this with me.
No, I appreciate you having me on, brother. Like I said, anytime you say the word, I'll be more than happy to chew the fat with you.
I got plenty of fat to chew, so we're good. All right, brother. Thank you again. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows, Journeys into the Paranormal Portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.